Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Video games. Welcome to Filthy Casuals, a podcast about video games hosted by three very kind and extremely knowledgeable boys. Thank you for joining us. My name is Tommy Dasilo, and with me, as always...
I just ate a pie, a Mars bar, and drank a can of Red Bull. I'm here to fuck. My name's Ben Bunnell.
Very, very nice. And joining us, as always, phoning in... Yes. From
phoning it in,
phoning it in from across the other side of this great planet of ours.
Yes.
It's Adam Knox.
Why would you have eaten that shit at 8:30 in the morning?
Isn't that how you start your day?
No, I start my day by rolling over, hitting record on my Zoom recorder and doing a podcast immediately, for which I will be judged for phoning it in.
Well, I mean, we had a little look around before we started recording, and there's fuck all going on in the world of video games this week.
Mm.
There's not much new stuff. There's not any new games that I am aware of.
No.
There's no news.
There's a few little tidbits here and there. We were talking just before we recorded about how I think at the time we recorded last week, this was about to happen. Nintendo did a little presentation on the new Pokemon game. Mm. They snuck out a couple little tidbits. Mm-hmm. And boy, they're really leaning into this UK aesthetic for these new Pokemon that they've got coming down the pipe. Mm-hmm. They've got some... Let me guess.
If it's UK ones, I'm over in the UK now.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Let me have a guess what sort of Pokemon are there.
Mm-hmm.
If it's UK Pokemon, there'd be one that during the daytime is fucking angry, but then during the nighttime gets way too happy from how drunk it is.
Okay.
Oh, okay. Yep. Yeah.
That seems to be a lot of people here walking around. Like, at nighttime, they're fucking drinking and singing and shit. Like, every fucking person seems to be singing in the fucking streets here. And then... in the morning, they're like, it seems like they wake up and they're like, ah, fuck, right, I'm a truck driver, damn it, and then get angry.
So you think that that's like two states of the same Pokemon? You don't think that like the nighttime version is like an evolution?
Ooh.
No, it's the same one and it keeps endlessly looping between the two
right.
Because it learned that behavior off its father.
Okay, that's a good guess.
Yeah.
Anything else?
If it's UK Pokemon, well, I can only judge from the Edinburgh Fringe, which I've been at.
Mm-hmm.
So is one of them a fucking choir that walks around the streets? Again, fucking singing in the streets. It's because my bedroom is so close to the street.
It sounds like you're staying on Broadway.
Yeah.
Yeah, look, my accommodation fell through. No, it didn't. I'm fine. I'm in a house. But anyway,
you're not on the West End. You're not sleeping on a stage.
Well, the West End's in London, and I'd sleep on the stage if I could. I'd tread the boards all night.
How's the Scottish play?
Macbeth.
Oh no!
Oh no!
This episode is now doomed. I think it already.
That'd be funny if, like, video game podcasts, you couldn't say Pac-Man.
Yeah, yeah.
People got superstitious about it.
Yeah. The what would you call? What's the?
What is he?
What country is it from? America. The American video game doesn't quite have the same.
Yeah.
I was gonna
It'd
say
be
the
like the witch.
I was gonna say the yellow video game, but that sounds dodgy.
Yeah,
no.
That's
it's probably from like Milwaukee or something.
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
I'm going to Google it. Where's Pac-Man from?
Let's start.
But I don't want to know where the character was born.
Yes. Well, but the Scottish play isn't Scottish. It's written by Shakespeare.
Ah, right.
A fantastic point.
So it should be where Pac-Man the Man is from.
Yeah.
Okay. The Neon game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe it is Japanese.
Okay.
I think so.
Oh, because it's Namco, isn't it?
Yeah.
Oh yeah, because the Pac-Man was originally called what? Puck-Man? And they changed it because it was like Japanese for fuck or something.
That's so funny. Oh, right. Okay. It's Japanese for fuck.
Yeah.
You're going like, puck, man, that'll never work overseas. Change it as slightly as possible.
Yeah. No, it was like something to do with the original like Japanese character was like, or it could be easily changed like in graffiti or something. I don't know why.
Right.
I guess.
I saw a bunch of people yesterday like at nighttime really quickly, as though they were going to get in trouble for it, putting up posters saying like liberate Hong Kong and stuff like that. And it is fucked what's going on over there, not to diminish that. But seeing people putting up like punk rock posters and be like getting out there and with the revolutionary spirit and putting them up at night, but it's next to a fucking photo of a clown on their poster. And there's like 600 other posters on the exact same wall. It really takes away some of the impact.
Free Luca Muller. No, the show is free. It's... what other English Pokemon are there? What are the ones they revealed?
Well, so they've revealed, like in the last one they did that was set in basically Hawaii, I think it was meant to be.
Yeah.
They've got this region's versions of existing Pokemon, and one of them is a version of the Pokemon, is it Weezing? The big kind of smog guy.
Yeah, coughing or Weezing, one of the two.
He looks the same, but he's just got like a giant top hat on.
It's like a smokestack, right? Like
kinda,
it's supposed to be both, sort of both. It looks bad.
I'm into how bad it looks. You know what? It's like I really respect that they're just leaning in the exact same way that the last one, remember one of them was just like, it had a really long tree neck.
You know,
like just them going, get it? Hawaii.
Yeah.
Like I respect that they're not trying to like do too much research about like, well, actually, if you know much about, you know, British culture and history, it's just right on the nose.
One of them,
they wear top hats.
Yeah, one of them's wearing a beef eater hat.
They've used like green smoke to give him like a big bunch of facial hair, like the safari hunter from Jumanji.
Yeah. It's great.
It's sick.
A room full of Japanese people that have probably never been to Britain, just seen a handful of British films. I think I'm back on board.
All right.
If there's enough ridiculous looking shit like this in it, I think I'll be interested again. Because you know,
Pikachu with buck teeth.
Yeah.
That'd be great. Growlithe, but he's a member of the royal family, so gets away with being on the Lolita Express.
I think they look great. I think it's very funny. Mm-hmm. I don't know if it's meant to be funny. Like, I don't know if they're doing it like, how good's this? Or if they've designed it going, man, people are going to think this is genius.
Right. I think it's meant to be cute.
A little tongue in cheek.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Honestly, this kind of stereotyping for white people, it's like reverse racism. And I'm just not on board with it. Nah, it's fucking good.
Yeah. What else? Yeah, I don't think there was there was a thing last night about Nintendo filing a patent for a wireless Super NES controller for the Switch.
Yes.
Which is probably fair enough to assume that maybe that means some Super Nintendo games are coming out. But you know what? Probably not.
Yeah.
Cause we've done it, everybody. We've released the Super Nintendo controller exclusively for use with Mario Kart 8. Some idiotic, bizarre move.
I'm on board with that, though. I'd like to play Mario Kart 8 with a SNES controller.
Yeah, pretty that wouldn't sick. Be bad.
But so
you can do it already.
Oh,
those that company called 8-Bit Do. I think it's pronounced 8-Bit Do, even though it's just D-O, so it should be Do.
Yes.
But I've got one of their like SNES controllers. I've used it for emulators and shit, and they're pretty good.
Yeah.
They connect up to a Switch.
Is it just USB or something?
It's no, Bluetooth.
Wireless.
Oh, hell yeah.
You can move anywhere.
Okay. But these ones, these patented ones, because there's a Nest, there's Nest ones, right?
There are Nest ones that they you could buy through the online subscription thing.
Yeah.
So I think it's for that. I think that the next thing is they're going to start rolling out SNES games as part of the online subscription, and it's just a little bonus thing that you can buy for that.
Yeah,
I think that's all it is.
How did the NES ones work? Were they like Joy-Con? Like, did they slot in and charge and stuff?
You could do that, yeah.
Because that's cool. That's why I would prefer it over a third-party one.
Yeah.
That'd be sick.
Yeah, actually being able to pair it that way would be pretty cool. But, I mean, so people have been pretty excited going like, oh, this means SNES stuff will be on the Switch, but... What it really means is that it'll be one new SNES game on there once every 3 months.
Yeah.
So it's like, it's kind of hard. I don't think it, for me personally, it's hardly worth getting excited about. I don't think.
No. And I've got a SNES Classic Mini Classic and I don't play that.
Yeah.
Like ever. And I think it's the better version of it. Like that's a buy it outright and it's got all the games you'd probably want to play. And if not, like Nox referred to, you can just emulate them anyway.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, Nox did advocate for breaking the law a couple of minutes ago. Let's not forget that.
Yeah,
emulation is not technically breaking the law. If you physically, if you own the game, you are allowed to emulate it. Now, I do not know. I own no games.
If you're flying over international waters, you can play an emulated game and not get arrested.
That would be great. You're on a flight and you just ask the flight attendant to come and let you know when officially the flight is over international waters. You break out a laptop again. And everyone's going, oh, fuck, here we go.
Not to make the episode too focused around a single subject, but getting on Jeffrey Epstein's plane so you can play SNES emulators.
I mean, that is what I was referring to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's the least defensive thing happening on that plane.
Yeah.
That's good shit.
The Lolita 64 Express.
What a weird week. Anyway, we'll talk about that.
I'm sure we'll get into this, and maybe this is a good time to plug the Patreon if you want to hear us talk about. I'm sure we'll get onto a bit of Jeffrey Epstein stuff in the bonus episode for this week.
Nox, you teased the fact in our other group chat that you are now a full-blown conspiracy theorist, so I'm excited to delve deeper into the murky underworld of what happened in the past fortnight or so, but Patreon for that.
Yeah.
I should point out I'm a conspiracy theorist about one specific theory that I read that is in the NRL, you know how they go to like the video ref really often?
Yes.
That is written into KFC's contract.
Because
they play a little KFC ad every time they go to the video ref and KFC has it written in their contract that they require a certain number of cutaways to the video ref.
I love that. Yeah. That's how the AFL tried to manipulate the rules this year to increase scoring, because then the free-to-air broadcaster gets more ad breaks for every goal. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, maybe we have more conspiracies to talk about than I thought. This is going to be very interesting.
Yeah. Anyway.
Yeah. Video games.
Well, the reason I bring that up as well is partly because I've fucking had zero time. As you can hear probably from just my voice and demeanor, I'm getting very little chance to rest and sleep over here.
Yeah.
So I've been sneaking in a couple of games on just my iPad.
Mm-hmm. Oh, classic.
Mm-hmm.
Let me yank it out here.
Well, hang on.
All right.
And then afterwards I'll grab my iPad.
Thank you.
Nice.
Yes, please.
I'm never across what is good on like iOS and stuff.
Me too. I'm very rarely playing a brand new mobile game. I've mentioned a bunch of times I've played Reigns and it's fucking sick. It's a fantastic game. I like it whether or not it's a mobile game, but it's very old.
I played a little bit of Wordscapes the other night.
Wordscapes?
It's an iPad game. I was at friend of the show Andrew Levins' house for dinner.
Yep.
He invited me around for family dinner, which was very kind of him. And
did you play with all a labo?
Well, his son, his five-year-old son, was allowed to stay up a little late because I was there.
Yes.
And his parents were like, hey, look, play Nintendo with Tommy. And he's like, I want to show Tommy Wordscapes on the iPad. And his parents are like, no, he doesn't want to see that. He wants to play the Nintendo. And then Lev's wife ends up going, this is so fucked that we're saying you're not allowed to play the educational video game, that you have to play the Nintendo. So Wordscapes is like, it's basically a crossword and you've got a little sort of circled down the bottom with, I think, like 8 letters around the side of it, mm-hmm. and they're in a random order, and you have to just make as many words as you can out of the letters that are there.
Oh, yeah.
In that circle. Yep. And it fills them out on kind of like a crossword grid. Mm-hmm. So it does get easier. Like you can kind of go, oh, there's a 4-letter word that's, you know, 2 of them are filled in.
Sure,
kind of thing.
Yeah. Scrabble style.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, I can see it's pretty. I mean, yeah, if you had a kid that was like willingly wanting to play that, and like having to be forced to sit down and play Yoshi on the Switch, fucking let him go for gold.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I used to love Words with Friends.
Mm.
I used to love it big time.
Really?
Yeah. The end.
Yeah, I never got... Geez, I hated the thing of like having to go back and forth and like, you know, wait for the other person to make their move. Mm-hmm. Like if they went offline or whatever, it'd take forever. I kind of hated that element of it.
Yeah. Couldn't you... You could send... Ending, you nudge them or something?
Yeah, but that's the other thing. I hated being nudged.
Ending that sentence as quickly as you did before, Ben, really did prove that you're not into Words with Friends anymore.
So what have you been playing, Adam? And what inspired you to dust off the old iPad gaming device?
You know that feeling when, like, you don't have the energy to, in quotes, play a proper game?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yep.
Yeah, that's how I've been feeling.
Yeah, right.
Just, a dull, flat cloud.
Mm-hmm.
You want to do something, but you don't want to exert the energy. Like, you don't want to have to commit to, like, a potentially hour-long session of something.
Exactly.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
What I want to do is play a shitty room escape game.
Oh, yeah. This is comfort food for you, isn't it?
It is. Yeah. I don't know what it is, but there's something about just looking at a room and thinking, how the fuck do I get out of this place?
I mean, you know, there's metaphors at play there, I think.
Yeah.
I feel.
No, I doubt it. I hugely doubt it. So I've been playing these ones by this company called Fire Maple Games.
Okay.
Which, I don't know, I assume is Canadian, just with the name
mm-hmm.
Maple.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And they're terrible in some ways, but also they're kind of, yeah, it is. It's comfort food.
Mm. Yeah.
Like the first one I played was called Grizzly Manor.
Oh.
And how did you get onto these? Were they just like recommended on the main page of the iOS store?
No, I typed in.
Here we go.
I typed in, died in a grizzly manor. And no, not really. I was just Googling best iPad games.
Okay.
Oh, nice.
That was my method.
Mm-hmm. And once you waded through Angry Birds, mm-hmm. You know those articles that are just like, here's the great iPad games you have to be playing, and it's like the most top of the line basic mm-hmm. shit.
Playing Minecraft.
Yep.
Grizzly Manor was the first one. It's got shithouse music. It looks bad. Pretty dumbass puzzles, but like it was relaxing. And then the end, though, was one of the best endings I've ever seen to a video game.
What?
The whole time,
what a turn.
It begins with you like getting this letter from your grandfather who owns the mansion. He's like, you got to come here. There's a secret afoot. Something's happening and no one believes me. You got to mm-hmm. come here and solve the puzzle. And you're like, oh, I knew my granddad wasn't dead. And you go through this manor and open, you know, fucking secret trapdoors and shit.
Mm-hmm.
And then at the end, you get into the basement and your granddad's there and he fucking gives you a motorbike for your birthday. He's like, he says, like, it's just this big motorbike. And then afterwards he's like, by the way, I invented time travel and that's why this thing's strapped to the back. So you kind of get like a Back to the Future motorbike. But him just standing there with his big motorbike going like, you did it. You found me.
So wait, he's got you this sick present, but he makes you solve a series of puzzles in order to get it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
Like,
kind of a dick move.
Have you ever done a real room escape?
An escape room?
An escape room?
No.
Man, you're starting to become like talking like a local. You're switching the words around. The grammar's all gone.
I have done one.
Do you want to hear my accent update, by the way?
Yes.
Yep.
Too bad. I'm working on the attitude before I work on the accent.
We have to solve a series of puzzles and at the end you'll reveal your Scottish accent.
Give me a sentence to say.
Here you go, grandson. It's a motorbike.
You got a grandson, it's a motorbike. No, it's not there yet still.
Too English. You still, you fall back into your English ways.
Yeah. You got a grandson, it's a motorbike.
That's pretty, that's almost Glaswegian.
Yeah.
Where you literally can't understand it.
Glasgow, water, water, Glasgow, okay. Here you go, son, that's a motorbike for you. Get the fuck out of my face. No, I'm doing fucking Liverpool.
Yeah, I told you, you can only do English. Your blood yeah. runs deep, whatever the phrase is.
That's the phrase.
Yep.
My blood runs deep.
What have you got? You've got like one more week or like a week and a half left there?
Two more weeks.
2 weeks?
I believe. Or yeah, probably a week and a half by the time this is out. And yeah, I have woken up this morning and realized I think I'm getting sick just from the way my voice sounds. I only got about fucking... Not to fucking brag, boys, but I only got about 3 hours sleep before this one.
What's he been up to? Come on, mate. Yeah. What was her name?
Well, let's just say I was up late in bed for a few hours with a certain bucket of curry chips.
Yes.
Not a bucket. What do you call a styrofoam container? I guess that.
Just, yeah. Yep, I think you've nailed it. She is a sweet temptress, though.
Curry chips is amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Because like the curry sauce they do over here. Did you have that when you were over here, Tommy?
No, I didn't have curry chips at all.
Oh,
damn. Curry chips is fucking awesome. We don't have it back home. It tastes fantastic. Mm. And the blowjobs.
Wow.
But you know what? I wish I could... This is of absolutely no help to you because I can't remember where it was, but I did see curry chips on a menu somewhere recently within the last week.
Oh, nice.
Here in Melbourne. Yeah, I'll try and remember where it was.
I bet it won't be exactly the same.
Well, of course not.
Nah. I wonder if those English pubs in the city do it, like the Charles Dickens or the Sherlock Holmes Tavern.
Wow, what a great guess for the name of a British pub.
Queen of England pub?
So what is it just, what sort of curry sauce is it?
It's made from that yellow curry powder, right?
Yeah. I've not got a clue what it actually is. But, yeah, you chuck that and some cheese on some chips, baby. Oof. You're forgetting about the problems for a couple of minutes.
God damn, that sounds great.
Yeah.
What else have you eaten that's been good?
Very little. The food here, it's one of the most earned reputations that any landmass has. Great Britain has poor food.
Yeah.
I'm struggling to even think of anything that's been good. They do meal deals in the Tesco's where you can get a sandwich, like a little bucket of fruit or a packet of crisps, and a drink for £3, which is $6.
Mm-hmm.
That's not bad.
That's incredible value.
So, yeah, good value. The food's okay.
Yeah. The food's bad.
And the portions are so small.
I fucking drank a coffee the other day from Costa.
Yes.
I went so if you're at home and you order a large coffee to sit in, how large would you expect that mug to be?
Just standard mug size. I find most cafes, if they do sizes for their takeaway coffees, there's not a choice when you're dining in. There's just a standard mug size that they have.
Right. I've been to places with a cappuccino cup as the small, you know, and then a mug like a mug you'd have at home, like a World's Greatest Dad mug size for large.
Oh, right. Interesting.
That's what I would assume. I've never
seen that, but right. Okay.
So how many handles would you imagine that mug has on it in order for you to be able to lift it up?
I mean, this sounds like a trick question. But
would it be just the one?
Just the one, probably, yeah.
I'm going to agree with Ben, just the one.
Yeah.
Double it.
Wow. Three?
Genuinely, like fucking drinking out of a vase.
Wow.
It was insane.
Was it any good?
It was fine.
Okay.
Wait, it literally had two handles on it?
It had two handles on it like a sippy cup.
So it's almost like the size of a stein.
Oh,
It was, I'm trying to, what could I compare it to?
A summer's day.
Nah, it was nothing like that. They're quite long. make a fist.
Yeah.
Yep.
Are you making a fist, Ben?
Yeah.
Yes.
I'm doing it as well.
Now punch Tommy. It's probably...
He's dead. It'd
fit about three fists in the mug total, maybe.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
That's a fucking big mug.
That's a decent-sized mug.
Dude, I thought I was a big mug, but then this mug comes along and I realize I'm just a not a that big of a mug.
I imagined stupidly, this is very dumb, the two handles were like both on the same side.
Yeah, me too.
Sort of like at 45 degree angles, sort of coming out diagonal.
I was imagining, yeah, just one on top of the other.
What? That's moronic.
No. Yeah, nothing like that. I mean, if it was thin and tall, I guess that makes some sense. Mm. But it was like a real fucking wide bastard.
Yeah, okay. So you felt like a lame Viking just having this.
I'm going to go get one of them in a minute or two.
Hell yeah.
Oh, baby. What else has been getting a run on the old iPad? So you've been given your time traveling motorbike.
Mm-hmm.
Where does a young lad go from there?
Mm.
So I've been playing a little bit more Dr. Mario World
mm-hmm.
on there. That game's fine.
Mm-hmm.
Pac-Man 256.
Oh, yeah. I remember that.
Yeah. So it's Crossy Road.
Yeah.
But Pac-Man.
Oh, right. I never played it. I never even heard of it.
It's like endless Pac-Man, it's all right, essentially, isn't it?
Yeah. You're going down an endless Pac-Man maze.
Mm-hmm.
It's sort of scrolling and there's like some... like corruption coming towards it, you know, little pixels and shit.
Yep.
Or flying off, so you got to keep going. And there's heaps and heaps of ghosts and a few different types, some that'll like launch really quickly at you if you get to their level, so you don't really want to be in the same sort of section as them.
Mm-hmm.
Standard ones that are chasing you, some that are in sort of long lines together, and you get as far as you can.
Cool.
Yeah. It's fine. Again, it's the sort of thing, like, I think as all good iPad games are, you can switch your brain off
mm-hmm.
and just absolutely chill.
Yeah.
I love to enter the chill zone.
Yeah.
Sunny's on, feet up, just kicking back.
In my opinion, that's a huge mood.
Oh, dude, let me tell you, I'll be honest with you.
Yes?
Mood is bae.
Oh. The vibe, boys. The vibe.
What about?
I got really sorry.
No, I've realized it's not. I was going to say, would it be funny to go have like a funeral in like 60 years,
mm-hmm.
you know, when kids are grown up, kids of today are grown up, and yes. they're all like, we are all here to remember a dear friend. You know, Bob, who cares what his name is for the sketch thing here.
Hunter.
Yeah. Some fucking kid these days name.
Yeah.
His little fucking Steve, named after Steve Jobs. We're all gathered to remember him. He was absolutely a mood. And he was my bae. So please... a moment's silence as we put the coffin into the ground. Yeet! That was all I wanted to get to. I wanted to get to a millennial child going to a funeral and saying yeet to throw a coffin into
they've
the
got,
ground.
They've got a handful of dirt and they dab it into the open grave.
Yeah. All the pallbearers are flossing with the other hand as they go down.
Yep. Yes. Yes.
Yeah, that's the sort of thing I can see popping up on Ben Elton Live from Planet Earth. Look that up. 20 overseas listeners.
Mm.
Look that show up.
Yes.
One of the great flops of Australian television. Mm-hmm. Truly remarkable
stuff.
One
episode? Did it last?
I think two.
Two or three, maybe.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, really good shit.
Oh, yes.
One of the most panned things in Australian television history.
Yep. And we compared our jokes to that.
Yeah. anything else on the old iPad? I did really into Pac-Man 256 back when it came out. Mm. I remember loving it. It's, that perfect, the endless scrolling kind of thing is very easy to get lost in.
It's weird because... It's kind of compelling to go again, but then also it's off-putting because every time I go to start another one, I'm like, well, this could last for 5 hours.
Yeah,
right.
I could be going until the heat death of the universe. There's no reason that I'd have to die.
Mm-hmm.
Or when you like get a new record and you die and then you go, oh, okay, I'll go again, but part of you goes, well, I've just gotten the record. Right. I'm not going to get further than that immediately afterwards.
But then with any game and that sort of situation, I think I'm in the zone.
Yeah,
of course, okay. I got to go again. I'm in the zone. I'm going to beat this record and I'm going to do it again and again.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's just my opinion on the matter.
Other than that, I played like a little bit more Fire Emblem and I've been playing some Owlboy.
Oh, yeah. You mentioned that. Yeah. It's good, right?
I'm not really that into it.
Ooh, oh, controversial.
Yeah.
I think it doesn't really... I don't know how to express it, but me don't like game.
try and express it through song.
Yeah.
In the style of Scotland.
There's not a chance that I'm going to be able to do that. I'm just going to back hooting. Out right now. there's something about the way that it moves that feels very not smooth.
Really?
It feels as though the game is cobbled together in a way that I'm really not enjoying. There's just something off about it, and I'm really struggling to explain what it is. But it feels like you can see through to how fucking glitchy it was at one point and how much they've pulled it back from like on fucking Game Maker or whatever, you know? There's just that little flashy kind of element to it. Flashy as in flash programming.
Yeah, that's interesting.
Like all the text boxes, all the dialogue things, they like glitch out when I go through them. They like pressing A, they'll go like and like flip all around the screen in a really weird way.
Oh, really?
Sounds like you have a buggy copy of the game.
But that's impossible, surely.
I mean, it's only like a
Switch.
Maybe something fucked up when it was downloading. I don't know. It doesn't sound like the actual experience is
like
working.
It's a tiny thing, and it's just little bits and pieces that are off about it. It's also a lot more linear than I thought it would be.
Yeah,
it's very linear.
And I really don't like the story or the writing or the designs of any of the shit.
Yeah, right.
Wow, because I thought it played really well, like mechanically. I thought it played like an old game, but good. Mm-hmm. You know, that sort of feeling. I like the character design. I like the story. I like the writing. I like the music. I like the combat. Like, I kind of liked everything about it. I don't think anything about it, but I liked basically everything.
Yeah, all of it's just falling a bit flat for me for some reason. I don't like the mechanic of having to hold the person underneath you and kind of be responsible for So if Owlboy gets hit, mm-hmm. then you get damage. If the person that you're carrying underneath you gets hit, you kind of don't.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
And I find that really annoying because I'm looking at the entire size of the thing, and it's a lot easier to get into a situation where you just get Owlboy hit while you're trying to dodge, because you're trying to dodge with the whole thing just because your brain is interpreting that as your character. Does that make sense?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I understand. I don't think I felt the same way, but I get what you're saying.
I don't really like that whole mechanic of carrying these people underneath you and using them to, you know, shoot apart different puzzly bits of the environment or at enemies. The shooting of the enemies is just really fucking boring. The bosses are easy and dull. The music, it weirdly switches between like orchestral and then like 16-bit sounding in a way that for some reason bothered me. Because there was no real reason as to why some bits were 16-bit and some bits were orchestral. It was nothing to do with like the areas having a thematic thing or whatever.
Yep.
Does that make sense? And then like also I didn't find the music that interesting. I don't like the art style. It looks messy to me rather than like a picturesque kind of beautiful version of that 16-bit stuff.
Yeah, right. Yeah, it's been like two years or something since I played it, so I can't – the shooting and stuff I can't particularly, and the music I can't particularly remember how, like, yeah, specifically how that felt, other than the fact that I do like, yeah, I do love the game. But I do know what you're saying about the, like, once you can sort of see the cracks in something, especially knowing that it's an indie game. I was trying to play that, what's it called? The Friends of Ringo, Something or other, like an old
John,
it's like
Paul
an old
and George.
Yeah. It's a sort of River City Ransom style game, and that had a couple of things in it where it kind of glitched early on, and for whatever reason that making me very and there were like spelling mistakes in the text and stuff. And that made me really aware that it was just made by, you know, two or three people or whatever. And it's, you know, it's annoying
to feel
like...
Which isn't a problem.
No, but for some reason it did impact it for me.
It's like the seams are showing. You can see it's... Yeah.
And it's...
Totally. Two or three people making it isn't a big deal. And it's the same with this. This was a very small team, I believe. But it's not so much that it was the work put in by one person. It's that you can see how much of a struggle it was.
Yeah.
Right. It's because it is so impressive when a small team makes a game that doesn't glitch and doesn't have those cracks. I can see that.
The design of everything is so ornate, but the linearity of it and just the sort of the plainness of what it's asking you to do, the sort of straightforwardness of what you're actually tasked with doing in this very ornate environment that I think is over-designed to the point where it looks messy and bad.
Yeah, right.
Then it just being kind of like, and then shoot this guy. And then, it's like a twin stick shooter thing, but it automatically locks onto these targets in a way that means you're never really aiming at the thing you want to be aiming at. It's just every little decision, and I'm not really gelling with.
Yeah, right.
10 out of 10.
I was waiting for that. Very good. Yeah, I don't know. I remember liking it. Like I said, I didn't love it, but I certainly, like it's, and I'm someone who prefers sort of minimalistic design, and I didn't have an issue with the aesthetic, but I also didn't love it, so I don't care to argue for it.
Yeah, I think it's just that for some reason with this game, I can see the fucking grid that the pixels were drawing over while it was being made. Do you know what I mean? It just feels false, the whole thing. It feels forced and like a little it feels like it was a real fucking struggle to get out, and that sweat comes through in a way that's not unappreciated. You know, I get it, but also it's so visible that it makes it difficult to sort of get as enthralled by it as a lot of people said at the time.
Well, right. That makes sense. I mean, he did work on it for a long time. Like, he started developing it for the maybe even the Wii, or certainly the Wii U.
Yeah.
He started developing it at a time before the kind of pixel art style and indie thing was like so overdone, and then by the time he finished it, it kind of came out in the real kind of depth of like that being a bit overkill.
It was well post like Fez and all those early sort of first wave indie pixel art games.
So what you're saying about it seeming like it was a struggle to get out, like that makes sense because it was. Yeah, it took him fucking ages.
Yeah.
And well, I don't know if that's me coming into it with baggage or whatever, knowing that aspect of the game, but also it just, there's something about the disconnect between how much work was put into some of the visual stuff of it versus like, I'm just flying from left to right. Like, what you're doing in that game hasn't at one point been interesting to me.
Yeah, right.
Right.
I mean, I think for me it was like I felt like clearly a lot of the touchstones that he had when he was making it and the kind of thing he was trying to make it like were the exact same kind of things that I loved growing up. So it kind of had that like immediate resonance for me. So, I mean, maybe I was a bit blinded to other things just because of like, you know, having that attachment to, you know, what it was referencing.
What was it that it was referencing for you that hit you? Because I'm not
I feel like specifically it reminded me a lot of those really good old Disney games that were on the Mega Drive and stuff like that. Specifically the ones where you're playing as Mickey and Donald and you're the one World of Illusion or whatever where you get sucked into a little magician's hat.
Mm-hmm.
I felt like it reminded me a lot of that, and I loved that game when I was a little kid. And, yeah, I remember just thinking that it was great to have what felt like a kind of an updated modern version of that kind of feel and aesthetic.
Right. Yeah, I don't have any real history with those ones, so maybe that's why it's not scratching any itch for me. But yeah, it's just it's not up my alley for some reason.
Yeah, fair enough.
Well, speaking of games that had visible and troubled development cycles and whose cracks were well visible for everyone to see, because of early access,
yep.
is a game called We Happy Few.
Yep.
A game that I saw a trailer for like years and years ago, probably within the timeline of this podcast, mm-hmm. and was like, fuck, this looks great. I love the aesthetic. I love the style of this. I love the setting. It's like this sort of weird 1984 Big Brother medicated England.
Mm-hmm.
And there's like these crazy fucking cops everywhere with like smiley face masks on. And it looked like it was going to be this sort of like Bioshock narrative first person stealth game.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, oh, fuck, this is going to be great. I love Bioshock. Infinite was like, is one of my favorite games.
Yep.
And then it turned out that it was just a survival horror game almost, or just a survival game.
Right.
There was no real story to it. There was a setup, and then it was just like, just go around and craft weapons, sort of like a combination of those sort of like Rust and DayZ games,
yep,
where you're
yep.
just sort of out there in this world with limited resources. And they released that in early access, and people, I think, were vocally desiring a narrative mm-hmm. and a single-player story. And so they went away and they created one, and they've released the game, and it's on Game Pass,
mm-hmm.
and I've been playing it.
Yep.
And I like it. It's honestly, it's not, you know, changing the it's not changing the way games are played. It's not, you know, some sort of groundbreaking release.
Mm-hmm.
It's probably not even as mechanically complex as a game like Bioshock Infinite, which is very old.
Yep.
But if you like Bioshock and you are into this aesthetic, I for some reason really like the kind of like crazy UK gone mad, The World's End, you know, like sort of Shaun of the Dead.
It's not that fucking far off, mate. I tell you what, those fucking bobbies, they don't look that fucking far off to me, mate.
I think it's a metaphor for Brexit. I think that's what it is.
Yeah. Nah, oh, yeah, mate, that'd be right.
Can I just sidetrack very briefly to ask, Adam, how many poor Brexit routines have you heard across the Edinburgh Fringe so far?
Listen, does it count if I'm listening to myself?
Yes, please tell us the number.
Actually, genuinely not that much Brexit, because people are so fucking sick of talking about it.
Over it,
the
yeah.
The majority right. of the time, if someone mentions Brexit on like the sort of lineup shows that I've been doing, like visible, like, oh, fucking move on.
Oh, really?
Not and visible, audible.
I guess for Scottish people as well, they're like, well, we'd also prefer just Scottish independence, and then
right.
it becomes a different discussion that's probably more depressing.
Well, and it's just the biggest, it's still sort of limbo feeling. Mm. So I think people just need to feel like they need to wait for something to actually fucking happen.
Yeah.
Then discuss it. But there are still a bunch of shows around called like Brexit Pursued by a Bear and whatever. But
oh boy.
I think, yeah, I don't know. Stuff over here is people are reacting a little more and being like, all right, shut the fuck up. Talk about curry chips.
Yeah, sure. Well, We Happy Few could either be very cathartic for the people of the United Kingdom, because you murder a lot of cops and you just get to kind of run around and do whatever.
Right.
Or it could hit too close to home, because it's basically like the collapse of British society. And I think maybe the world, it's very hard to tell.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's also like post-war stuff. So it's like if Britain started to become fascists like the Nazis and like right. round up Germans and
started,
shit.
Mate. What do you mean fucking started? Not even allowed to put a shed in my own fucking backyard anymore.
I am an anarchist.
And what's the curry chip situation like in this game? Is that like a power up? Or?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's how you get your health back.
Right.
It's
tell you what, mate. Nah, it fucking takes health away if you ate too many of them. That's all I'm saying. Don't have fucking say, mate.
Yeah.
I think I'm getting better at the accent.
Yeah, well, that's just an English accent.
Yeah.
Not a good one.
No. But it has a lot of the trappings of a survival game still. It has, like, you gotta, all your weapons are destructible, you know, yep. over time. You gotta, like, craft healing stuff, which is in, you know, a lot of, like, it's in The Last of Us, is the one that I always reference. It's like, it's very much that.
Yeah.
But it's not. It doesn't. It's not like a No Man's Sky or an annoying version of it where all you're doing is gathering resources to build stuff. there's a really fun story, is probably not the right word for it, but it's just like you've got to keep pushing forward. You've got to get to the train station. Then you meet this other guy and he's like, oh, you can get over here. You're always trying to kind of escape, basically. Mm-hmm. That you keep having flashbacks to your brother who it's like is implied he was like taken away or some shit when you were young. And it's filling in the gaps of this world that way, which, yeah, if you're into sort of like that post-apocalyptic political social breakdown setting, it's a kind of weirdly fun version of it, because mm-hmm. it's all like, you know, people in weird English named towns with funny accents. I've played, I don't know, a bunch of it, 5-6 hours. I like it. Great. But I mentioned this in the group, like this very much came and went without a fanfare, without really anything. I don't even remember getting reviewed.
Yeah, the name's familiar. Like, I've definitely heard of it, but I didn't know anything specific about it. Mm. And I might have even just heard of it from looking through Game Pass and seeing it.
But it's good. It's really good. If you like the BioShock games, like, I've, you know, wanted a sequel to the BioShock franchise for years, and this is a good version of it. It's a version that, like, would have... feels like it came out 8 years ago.
Yeah, okay.
But it's a, if it came out 8 years ago, I would have given it 9 out of 10. Like, it's a really, it's a game that I really like.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, it definitely, I remember getting reviewed, but people were like, oh, this is just not that great of a survival game. And it had a similar thing to No Man's Sky, I guess, where it got sort of more hyped up than maybe they were ready to deliver on.
Yeah, I also have never heard of this development company. I don't know if they're a large team or a small team, but... this is not a game where you can see the seams or the cracks. Like, it feels, like I said, it's not breaking any new ground with gameplay.
Yep.
But the gameplay that's there is great. There's no flaws in it. There's no seams. I'm not like going, oh, fuck. I'm like stuck in one place, or I'm hopping trying to get over this fence and it doesn't work. Like, it's a good game. I recommend it if you're a System Shock or BioShock fan.
Great.
Yeah.
I'll check it out.
Oh, speaking of System Shock, they're doing a... System Shock 2 remastered thing as well, I saw during the week.
Very nice.
Yeah.
Because they are still allegedly working on a third one, but we'll see.
Was that a Kickstarter thing or some?
Yeah, that seems to make sense.
Yeah, I think we've talked about it before, and yeah, it's not out. I've also been playing Fire Emblem.
Yep. Should we do a Fire Emblem update?
I think we should.
Yeah.
So the current state of my students is that all of them are alive.
Me too, Adam.
The story's really interesting.
Is it?
Bombshell revelation.
If every character is dead.
Bombshell revelation from our Facebook group during the week is that Ben Vanell is currently walking around a school in which he has... murdered literally every single one of the students that were under his command.
It makes the battles hard. they're all dead. Blue Lion House is currently made up of the protagonist and Dimitri.
Which it's impossible to... If he dies, it's like game over.
It's game over. It is game over, yeah. I didn't know about the Divine Pulse system. And even once I did, I was like...
That to me seems impossible because they teach you it early on.
And we've talked
they
about it on the show.
They do a tutorial for it.
Yeah, I guess I wasn't paying attention either when they explained it in the game or when we discussed it on the show.
Someone mentioned it to you in the group, like when the game first came out, and you said, that sounds lame. Doesn't sound so lame, does it, now, does it?
All of my students are dead. It really does make the missions hard. I will say, though, after that, so I spent, a full week or so with all of my students dead. And every in between battle, you know, period where you have the month to
work missions,
on stuff,
the yeah.
I was going around to every fucker in the monastery and just like, hey, do you want a gift? Have you lost something? Can you please join my house?
Yep.
And it didn't work for ages. I have.
Oh, well, you've got the kiss of death. You're the Black Widow
exactly.
of this school. Black Widow house.
Honestly,
on,
if I was at that school, I would have assumed you were killing the students and eating them.
I'm not killing them. They're just dying in battle.
You're just bad at your job. And how are the monastery not kicking you out on your ass at this point?
Yeah.
And what are you doing during those weeks? Those classes must go by in the space of about 15 seconds.
You've got to be falling short of some KPIs there.
Yeah. When the, you know when you do like a, you're doing, you instruct, you know, you teach the class.
Yeah.
It pans around all the desks. It just pans around from empty desk to empty desk.
So you're building up your professor level. You're getting more activity points to spend during the week. And you're just getting to just chuck them all on just one guy. He's getting all the meals.
Yeah.
He's getting all the choir practice.
No, I'm just going fishing. I just go fishing five times.
Fucking hell.
I did learn about the Divine Pulse. And guess what? Despite me being the Black Widow.
Yep.
I've managed to recruit some new students
now.
Oh,
nice. Okay.
I was tipped off to the fact that you can get some of the faculty on board.
Yep.
So you can get like some of the knights.
That helps a lot.
Oh,
having Catherine
in
my house made a big difference.
So she was, I think, the first one. And then I was like, oh, you can get other ones.
Yep.
So I got a couple other ones. I did some more missions. So I was improving my own, like the charisma and all the stuff you need.
Yep.
And then I've got a few. I got like Leone and...
if you're going to send people out to die, you got to have that charisma.
Absolutely.
That's the most important thing.
Yeah, yeah. Come on. Into the trenches or out of the trenches. I got Casper, who I know you love, Nox.
Yeah, not a fan of him for some reason. He's just rubbed me the wrong way.
Every time I went to recruit him, he was like, you down for being a bad boy? No? Well, I'm not interested.
Right.
That's his character.
Yeah. He thinks he's like the strongest guy there, but he's also just a very weak character for me. He's not particularly effective in battle. So he comes across like this blowhard. And apparently other people were saying like, oh, he's like my strongest character, but he is absolutely he's all talk. No walk.
You did strike a chord with the listeners last week, Adam, when you mentioned not liking Casper, because then someone started a Casper hate thread in the Patreon Facebook group that had a lot of vocal supporters. So
they were like, why didn't I just let him get murdered in the heat of battle? No, I would never do that to even a character I hated.
Yeah.
I'm like, yes, I understand what you mean. He is actually great, though. Once I recruited him, he is one of my strongest guys. He's like an axe guy. I got Dorothea, who's like a magic person.
Yeah, I recruited her into my house.
You're pretty much bringing over all the people from my house.
Yeah, right. Yes. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
The Black Eagles.
Yes. Yeah, I've got a few eagles. I got, actually, that's a spoiler. But I've got a few bunch of other characters now. I'm up to like six or seven in my team again.
Okay, there we go. He's back.
It did take me a while.
Some fresh future corpses.
Fodder for the cannons. But, and honestly, like this, I broke the game and it wasn't enjoyable.
Mm.
And once I've, like, now that I've got all these characters back again, or I've got a proper complement of soldiers, it's way more fun.
Oh, for sure.
I'm fucking loving it. Like, I actually, like, I loved it the whole time, but I'm loving it more now.
I have to assume you're not getting the story stuff out of it in between the actual sort of main bits, because, like, there's a lot of little interactions that you do between the people in your house when you're off mission. You just go into the menu and do the, I forget what it's called.
Support.
Support, those things. Do you get to see any of those?
No, you don't. But because you guys are both playing in classic casual mode?
You fucked this game for yourself.
No. You guys are playing in baby mode. So what you
here we go.
What you don't know is that once a character
adults kill
dies,
all of their friends and ignore anything they have to say.
What you don't know is that once a character dies in battle, they don't leave the game. They are just unable to be used in any future battles.
Yeah, they're still at the monastery.
They're still at the monastery. So every time you go and check them, you still get to talk to them.
Yeah, that seems weird.
Yeah.
And this is on the classic mode.
This is on classic mode. Yeah. Yeah. This is on permadeath mode. They're still there. You just go and talk to them. You only get like three or four lines of text from them. You don't have a menu to go into and interact with them.
The support stuff. Yeah.
But they're still there, and you still sort of get bits and pieces of their backstory. But also, like I've recruited four or five other characters now, where I have support conversations and I have all these other little side quests and stuff with them. So
yeah.
Yeah.
Weird.
Yeah. It's, yeah. Because you would, there are some missions that, not missions, but
quests?
Side battles that happen in the middle of months in between the missions.
Paralogue
battles
that
are story based that will be characters from other houses kind of come along and join you for just that mission.
Yeah, yeah.
So I imagine But some of them are based around people in your house,
and some of them.
But
are
do they
based
still happen?
The
but then they
stuff.
Just don't join you for the battle. No, but they are. They're all based around that character going into battle with you. So maybe they just don't show up if the person's dead.
Yeah,
you
just I
can't
did
access as many of them.
I did one of those recently where I fought a bunch of pirates, but no one outside of my house joined me.
Yeah, right. Okay.
It was just like Alois or someone who was like, oh yeah, I've seen some pirates. Let's go.
He's
fight
in my
him.
House now. He's
but
great.
But he's also he's already in my house.
I have hit the time jump.
Oh,
I
yeah.
went to Sydney over the weekend, flight there and back, middle seat both times, just weebing it up.
Yes.
No shame.
Yeah.
Just going all out. Nothing to hide. I don't care.
Yep.
Hit the time jump on the flight up, and then I'm just watching a cutscene. I'm literally just watching anime on this thing.
Yes.
Going, all right.
How
this
many,
is me.
How many hours in roughly was that? Do you remember?
30.
Whoa.
Around 30.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's... I mean, I guess that's good. This is apparently a very long game. Although I heard or saw, I think in our group, someone finished the game in 32 hours.
I will say that it's, you know, logged 30 on my save, but because of the way, you know, because you can play it in such kind of a passive way.
Yes.
I am very guilty of just mid-battle just being on my phone and, you know, so that number's probably, in terms of actual time spent
doing
the game.
Maybe halve it. Two thirds, maybe?
Not quite. I don't know. It's probably adds up to an hour.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. I'm only like 13 hours in still.
Yeah. Right.
Which feels like I've been playing it for fucking ages.
Yeah.
If you just zipped through everything as well, because you can automate all the teaching stuff, you don't have to go and do all the conversations. If you were just going like path of least resistance quickest through it, I guess you could finish it in that. Well, I don't know. I've not finished it.
You probably could. You could rest in between. I mean, all the weeks in between the missions at the end of the month, you could just rest for all of them. So not do any side battles, not do any. I mean, you'd hit a point where you're pretty underpowered, I guess.
Yeah.
But
maybe, but the battles have been pretty easy.
Yes, once I sort of figured it out, because I remember with Mario plus Rabbids, you guys really loved that game and I thought it was fine, but I also never really got super great at the combat. Like, I think have this attitude to this style of combat that isn't correct, which is just like, just go forward and attack. And often it's just like, no, move them back for a turn, heal up, and then like, and so I'm starting to, I think I'm just impatient about it. And that's probably why all of my students died within the first three battles.
That was the other bit of it. When you told me that all your students were dead and then you told me where you were up to in the game, I was like, you've done barely anything.
I think it was literally a practice battle where they can't die and then two battles later. But it's just like I just wasn't paying attention. I hadn't even got into them as characters yet.
Yeah.
But now, so my like... In stark opposition to the philosophy of just resting every month or just automating everything, I have done every conversation possible. I've gone through every lost item with every single person.
Yep.
Because I've tried to recruit them all, I've done everything I possibly can every moment that you're allowed to.
Yep.
So I've played 13 hours, but I'm not that far even in the story.
Yeah.
So... But I did that with Persona 5. I wrung every last ounce of content out of that game.
Yeah.
And that's what I'm doing with this as well.
Where are you at with it, Adam?
I honestly can't remember. I haven't really played it for a few days. I've been just so fucking all over the place.
It's a hard one if you don't have a good amount of time to invest
no,
in it.
No, and that's the thing, because the shows that we're doing are peppered throughout the days, it's... not something I want to dip into for, you know, 30 minutes.
Yeah.
I want to have a full 12 hours to sit and fucking do it. So, I don't know. It might be something I chuck on the back burner until I get back home for a little bit.
Yeah.
I'm still loving it. I'm getting the sense that I'm getting near the end, but I'm only I think I'm two or three battles past the time jump, so I don't know if the time, I don't think it's strictly halfway.
Yeah, sure.
So I don't quite know roughly how long I have left to go. And it does, I do feel at the moment like it's a bit, there are kind of, you know, points for the maybe the first, I don't know, three quarters of what I've done so far enough kind of shifts are sort of happening that newish stuff is happening all the time. Yeah. I feel like it's kind of plateaued a little bit.
Right.
So there's not, you know, there's not anything really like new being thrown at me. Although I did do a battle the other night that was different enough that was satisfying.
Mm.
But yeah, I just want my life back, to be completely honest with you.
Oh, yeah. And we should, we should issue an apology to anyone who we have unfortunately convinced to buy this game.
Yeah.
Apparently, it is a very difficult thing to accept.
Yes.
These recommendations that we're giving out of kindness are really causing people to swear and be angry.
Yeah, yeah.
And we want to say sorry for that. We're sorry for sharing our enjoyment of a game with our listeners.
Yeah, but go and get it.
And go and get it.
And if you don't get it, you're wrong.
And say goodbye to your girlfriend.
Well, I guess we better wrap it up there for another week on Filthy Casuals. Thank you very much for joining us. Folks, go see Adam at the Edinburgh Fringe.
Thanks to everybody who has so far as well.
Yeah.
Really, really appreciate it.
Good turnout of
the show's meant to be at 11:35 a.m. We've been starting a little earlier because we've been filling up early. So if you want to come see it, come down early.
Yeah, cool.
Yeah, I think someone asked in the Patreon group, like, when should I get there? I don't want to miss out. And I didn't reply because I didn't want to assume, but, like, I was just going to say early. Get there half an hour early, like, have a drink.
I still need to reply to that. There's a couple of messages like that, but I will get to them. I've just been, you know, obviously busy. But get there early. Because the problem is you're competing with a bunch of, like, you know, fucking old retirees walking around with nothing to do who are like, I can stand here for 40 minutes. I don't give a shit about my time.
Yeah, watch me.
So, come down early. And then there's other shows on as well. Luca Muller's got a solo show and a gong show at 4:45 and 11 p.m. that are both good. And then at midnight, we're doing a show called Late Show, Great Show, which is a late show. And let me tell you, it's a great show.
Awesome.
Should have mentioned that in the title.
filthycasuals.com.au for links to all of our socials and extra stuff, including our premium Bandcamp episodes.
Final Fantasy, the franchise, the history of, is our latest Bandcamp premium episode. You can get it for $1 Australian minimum.
Yep.
More is appreciated.
Yep.
However much you can afford. It's a fucking good one. I put a lot of effort into editing it and it was fun.
Yeah.
It's fun to do.
3.5 hours or so. Mm. Also the Patreon, if you want to chip in, you can get a bonus episode every week.
Yep.
Thanks to everyone who chipped into my fundraiser for the City of Surf that I did.
Yes.
I saw both of you donated. Very kind of you.
Yes.
The page is still open for another 2 weeks.
Oh, yeah.
So if you would like to donate for something that I've already done.
Yes.
Because
you're sort of trying to get the most for your charity out of everyone. You are like very close to having the most donations for
the charity.
The charity
were like, whoever gets the most will win a trip to Queensland. Mm. And I was like, oh, that'd be cool. Yep. And then by the time the race had finished, I did have the most.
Yeah.
And then they emailed me to go, oh, hey, it's open for another 2 weeks and that other guy's catching up to you.
Yeah.
So, I don't know, whatever. But whatever. People have already been extremely generous.
Yeah,
you got
so much. That's, very
cool. Yeah, it just ticked over $6,500 Australian dollars. So, thanks very much, everyone who chipped in. And
that's 11 pounds.
Yes, we will be back next week. Thanks very much for joining us. And as we say here at the end of every episode of Filthy Casuals...
That was me doing an impression of Ben's house in Fire Emblem.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.